Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk about Dover and the Xfinity Series. Talladega unpredictability is gone. Let's move on. And this will be a good week. We can trust data, especially at Dover. We expect green flag laps, churning and burning. The drivers that should rise to the top should stay at the top. Should be very predictable based on the data at the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, which you can get at RaceForThePrize.com. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, the links are below. Send the money my way, and I'll give you the May sheet. Get that May sheet, and I will include Dover if you're not already in. So you don't need to buy April. Just buy May, and I'll throw in Dover. If you haven't got your renewal on May, go for that. Ryan Truex crushes this race. It was Truex weekend last year. Truex wins. Ryan. Truex wins. Martin. Good weekend for JGR. Next in line is Justin Allgaier. Not a surprise. Been absolutely a monster at Dover. 3-2-3-7-1-2-2. You go back to the last intermediate track, he was a monster at Texas. He may be the best driver right now. Chandler Smith may have something to say for it. Cole Custer, probably not much to say for it. But we love Allgaier this weekend and probably whomever is going to be slotting into that JGR All-Star ride, which is starting to look more like an All-Star ride again, not just a pay-to-play scheme. Austin Hill, always a top-five car, but never really a contender at the intermediate tracks. Could take that step forward at some point, but always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Sammy Smith, sixth for JGR, starting to trend in the right direction with Junior Motorsports as he gets more reps with his team. Expect big things from him. Cole Custer, one of the things to highlight from last year, we ran out practice, we ran out qualifying, so the starting position grid is set by a scheme, and we get Cole Custer at the front, and he does his typical fade. Even when Cole Custer qualifies up front, he often does his typical fade. This is the Cole Custer that we know. Now, he has had some pretty strong Dover races in the past. So if there is one place where he can break out of his Cole Custer mode, then Ala mode, Custer on a cone, I don't know. If there is a place where he can really step it up, it would be Dover. We have seen him, like you look at this 2019 race, this was against the likes of Bell and Reddick, a very strong field. Where, again, it's not easy to pass a Dover if you get up front. Yes, did he do his typical fade last year at Dover? Sure did. But we do have to throw the asterisk of there wasn't practice, there wasn't qualifying. Still early in the season for his Xfinity return. So there's a lot of reasons why he may not have had the speed that he necessarily needed. I would expect him to be a little bit faster this week and or this year, although he hasn't necessarily shown it. And we do know there is that Custer fade. So be aware of the Custer fade, but also that at Dover, he has a chance. Jones, you just never can write him off. Three top tens in the last four. Mayer, solid, but hard to really consider him this weekend when we're going to have the JGR. We're going to have Allgaier. Chandler Smith's not on your board, but he's going to pop up now that he is in a JGR car. So how does Mayer slide into there? Sheldon Creed finished 11th, but had a pretty good race car. I'll talk about his situation when we highlight the races and provide some context in here in a second. Obviously, Chandler Smith in a colored car, 13th. Just not the race for them against the likes of Ryan Truex running away, Justin Allgaier running away. Yeah, it's slightly disappointing, but I'm not going to read too much into 2023 stats. There are specific racetracks where Chandler Smith is going to be pretty strong. I don't think Dover necessarily is one of those high-speed tracks where he has a lot of experience. You like what he did as a young kid. You like what he did in the ARCA series, and those tend to be more short, flat tracks, not Dover, which is its own little animal. But he could. I mean, obviously, he's going to be a play, but what I'm saying is his track history is probably not going to be that spectacular yet. We'll see how this goes. I mean, if you really want to go crazy, you can dive into what he did in the truck races. I haven't gone that far. Weatherman, Ryan Sieg, Parker Retzlav. I mean, these are not names that really should surprise us. Ryan Herbst with a poor finish. I'll explain the context there. Josh Williams, remember this is pre-Kulig. So nothing really stands out. Obviously, the Kligerman at the very bottom is a head-scratcher, but that's because he got into a wreck. Heim at the bottom in a Hunt car. I'll explain the context of that. So there's your track history for that race. And we don't really necessarily have a player pool, so no reason to dive deeper into that. And let's go to some of the highlights, but first let's look at the optimal lineup, and I'll explain that one to you. Thanks for joining me. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, share. Not all of you are subscribed. Come on in. Join the team. I love having you here. I love helping you out. The Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet makes this stuff easier on you, and it's going to make it easier on you for Dover because the data will be very predictive. It'll save you time, make it easy, and when you save time and it's easy, you have a lot more fun. So consider joining us, joining this movement as I move on the treadmill and as you move on the treadmill or you move in your car. We're all moving. We're all going. We're all going forward. Let's be a part of this. It's awesome. We're rocking and rolling. Thank you. I really love that you're here. You're helping me with the three D's. Say it with me. Diapers, daycare, and Mickey D's. You give me some money through Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. I support my family, and I try to do my best to help you out. Ryan Truex, obviously the top of the lineup here. Josh Berry, a very solid day. Fast laps. Gets place differential because qualifying was rained out. So easy play there at 10-8. Justin Allgaier, rain out qualifying, place differential, runs up front, scrapes off some fast laps. So this is not going to be your typical build because of the qualifying situation. But generally, I think that when we build, we are going to need three drivers that are up top in the top five. Either two guys change hands with the lead. I have it hard to believe that one guy absolutely crushes, but that is what happened here. But we're going to get scraped fast laps by guys that have solid average running position. That's just how Dover works. You throw in some place differential, maybe not this many, but they still have pretty solid days. You get that fourth guy who gets you some place differential. And then the real question is, all right, Kyle Weatherman just had a generally pretty good day, and he was starting 35th. And that's not really that crazy. It's a little bit better of a day for Kyle Weatherman. And a lot of that benefit was he did a two-tire strategy that got him into clean air during a portion of the race. And he just maintained position because it's Dover. It's very hard to pass. And for him to have a top 20 car is really not that much of a stretch for Gosselin. So starts 35th, uses some strategy, gets better track position, and just hangs on, which everybody's just going to be out there turning laps during green flag runs. So, again, not really that crazy. You were going to jam him in at 35th. 57. And then the other guy, which is actually kind of weird, is Timmy Hill. Shotgun on the field, starting 37th. Qualifying's rained out. It is a car-long car. He only finishes in 30th. This is just a pure savings play because we're chasing place differential. And so we've got basically two values. One, pure punt. If you look at the notes, Timmy Hill not only finished 30th, he was five laps down. But other cars have issues. I don't even know if he passes anyone. Calculate the wrecks and mechanical failures. He finishes 30th in a car-long car, but just gives you pure savings. He only scores the 22nd most fantasy points, but you need him to jam in these big monster plays. So last year's optimal lineup, probably not the typical optimal, but there it is. We will review the optimal picks later this week. So as we wrap up, we'll just run through and give you a general idea of where drivers ran in each stage. So what we'll do here with the lap-by-lap data that you can get at Fantasy with the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, racesurprise.com, just sort it by the end of the stage and see where they started the stage, see who gained, see who lost. Real quick, the highlights to provide some context. As I mentioned, Riley Herbst, poor finish because of penalties. Allgaier, maybe he could have had something for Ryan Truex. He had a penalty early in the race, had to climb back up, had no problem climbing back up. Did take a two-tire strategy at one point, made it work. I mean, there's, you know, no reason to downgrade, no reason to upgrade because he's already at the top, but just giving you that context of some of the details that you may not get in other podcasts explaining some of the situations with drivers because Allgaier's, I mean, if we flip over and probably look at his average running position, may not be as good as we would expect. So eighth is a little bit lower. Driver rating of fifth is a little bit lower, but that is because of the penalty and him having to work through traffic and those laps just, you know, holding down his statistics. Sheldon Creed starts the stage in third, gets up to first at one point, staying in first, pretty strong, fades a little bit, but really it's just Ryan Truex had a hot rod, passes him, takes the lead, but still decent speed from Creed. Somebody that maybe we can keep our eye on this week, Austin Hill just running where we expect him to run. Berry maintaining a spot in the top five. Jones hanging in there. Sammy Smith climbing a little bit. That's encouraging, either for the JGR Toyotas. Remember, that's Jeff Mendering who set that car up. So that will be Chandler Smith this week. Keep your eye on that. Here's Cole Custer doing his typical fade. But we do need to make sure that we remember that asterisk of if there was a guy that was going to fade, and obviously it's right here on this restart, but if there was a guy that was going to fade and the restart goes to Creed, so if anyone's going to beat you on a restart, Creed's definitely going to be one of those guys. But then he fades even a little bit more. But again, no practice, no qualifying, early in his new Xfinity tenure. Not completely surprised. Decent run here for Daniel Hemric. Chandler just maintaining, Mayer maintaining. Kligerman fades, but that's because he had the pole because of the statistical calculations. But for him to fade back and stay in the 12th, not surprised. Burton's having a pretty good day. Oh, I was supposed to talk about the highlights. Sorry. Herb's penalties explained. Allgaier penalty, two tire. Kaz Grala has a really good day. Really grinds through the field in his Sam Hunt car. We'll talk more about Sam Hunt in a second. We probably won't get Kaz Grala again this week, but we will get a Sam Hunt car, so maybe it's something that we think about. Sheldon Creed, we'll get to that in a second, but he's going to wreck. He will recover, but maybe he had a little bit more for the field, so he gets into that wreck. Jeb Burton and Derek Krause. So Jeb Burton running for Jordan Anderson, Derek Krause running for Colleague. They're going to run long at one point, and ultimately that's probably going to cost them about five spots. So Jeb Burton and Derek Krause for Colleague, Jeb Burton for Anderson, probably were a little bit better than their finishing position will show. Corey Heim had a top 20 car, maybe more. We didn't get to see a full race from him because of an engine failure. So there's your Hunt situation. Kaz Grala just grinded through the field, looked good in Hunt. Heim, still pretty young and new, so you would expect him to struggle maybe a little bit. Had a top 20 car. Would have been interesting to see what he could have produced throughout a full race, but we don't see it because of mechanical failure. Jeffrey Earnhardt also looked like he was going to get a top 20 for Alpha or Tommy Joe Martins, but he also suffered a mechanical failure. There's your contextual point. I'll look through stage one. Really no surprises. There is Derek Krause right there, 15th. Sieg, 14th. Burton, 13th. Weatherman, quickly up to the front. You're going to get a little bit of shuffling there on that caution, whether people take tires or not, but it is definitely a track position race. And so we could see some surprises with people playing games and getting lucky with cautions. No real surprises here. And you see Allgaier's way down here because of that penalty. But he'll climb back out of it. Let's look at the stage two run. So we end stage one with Truex basically saying this thing's over. Sorry, guys. It's my race. We're going to get some cautions in stage two. We'll set it here at, I believe, 91 is the end of stage two. And again, you got Truex just hanging. Hill hanging. Nemechek really doesn't have anything for Truex on this day. Allgaier's climbed his way back up. He's running top five, but Truex is just head and shoulders above the field. Custer's pretty much set in fifth place. Chandler Smith running pretty well. Gets as high as sixth in this run. And so if we go back to where they started, and we do have a caution that maybe helps a little bit, but, you know, make some pit road gains. Decent, but mainly just maintaining. Creed climbing back up after a poor pit stop, I believe. Smith pretty much maintaining, lost some spots. No real surprises here. Barry maintaining. We're just out there turning laps. So again, we're not seeing anything. We do see Brandon Jones. Really, must have had, he might have been involved in a dust up right here. I have to check on the restart. And then lost spots. Didn't really recover. Just got there turning, running the end of stage two. So basically the drivers that we like are the guys we like. And then we run, really, if you really just want to look at something, just look at stage three. Because we go green throughout stage three, and this is going to tell you who's got what they got. So Truex wins, and Truex started the stage technically, what, lost some spots here during a restart, but he gets right back to the lead within a matter of laps. He's good to go. Josh Berry gets his car to come alive, climbs from 12th to 2nd. On the long green flag run, we don't have to worry about that. He won't be around. Allgaier cycles, moves himself up to 3rd, but really doesn't have anything for Truex. Hill, Nemechek, Sammy Smith, Everybody's pretty much running where they run. Smith a little bit better. Cole Custer a little bit slower. Finishes in seventh. Fades a little bit. Again, no practice, no qualifying. Maybe that hurt him. Brandon Jones works his way back up into the top 10. A very solid day. Not a bad day for Mayer. Still a young driver with Junior Motorsports. Gets him a solid top 10. Solid overall day for Daniel Hemric and colleague. Better than probably what he ran most of the time. But again, never really a part of the equation. Here's Sheldon Creed after the wreck. Drives from 27th. Finishes 11th. Salvages what could have been a better day. Kaz Grala, stage 3, starts 17th. Works his way up to 12th. That's pretty solid. Chandler Smith fades in stage 3. You'd like to see what happened there. Started inside the top 5. Fades down to 13th. It's a colored car. I'm not going to read too much into it. His first half of the race was pretty decent. Would have liked to see him better. Maybe there was something during pit cycling, but it really just looks like didn't have a very good car start stage 3 and then just kind of stayed there. Ran a little bit longer than other guys. Maybe that hurt him some. Weatherman sticks with the typical strategy, maintains his position. As I mentioned before, we got Burton who tries to run long. It probably cost him a couple of positions. You can see here, runs a little bit longer, doesn't catch the caution, and maybe makes him a little bit slower than Retzlav and Sieg who pit earlier. So they get these fresh lap tires, are able to cycle in front of him, and then a track where you just can't pass. Just didn't work out for Burton. Kraus ran a little bit longer, not too long. Herbst tries the Hail Mary to run long. That's not going to work. Can't recover from that penalty. And then the rest is basically what you would expect. And we have run the treadmill to the max once again. And so that beep says it's time to go before we burn this thing up. But I will start it back up for our sayonara moment. Thanks for joining me, guys. I really, truly appreciate you guys being here. I hope I'm making it easy on you. Please look into that May package. Consider purchasing. If you're not quite ready to jump the gun, that's fine. You guys DM me, email me. We can talk about it. They're open. Leave comments. I respond to all of them. Like, subscribe, share, recruit people to the team. Love that you guys are here. I really am blessed to have people flooding into this channel, that this channel is growing, that we're building something here. Join us. I want to make it easy on you. I want to save you time. I want you to have fun doing this. So I put in a lot of effort and research to do that. And, you know, you can always just send a tip, a little teeny tip, $5. You don't have to buy the sheet for it. But sometimes if you tip, I just share the sheet with you for the weekend, you know, out of the kindness of my heart. So again, I'm blessed to have you here. And I really do love you guys. Trip to Light's fantastic.